Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureau's podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
I'm Archana Mehta, principal of AM Strategies, a marketing and communications firm based in Washington, D.C. I'm a marketing professional by day and mom of twins all the time. I'm honored to join Council of Better Business Bureaus on their quest in discovering what truly makes better business. Thank you for joining us at Better Business, Better Series, where we will discuss the heart and climate of doing business better in today's marketplace. We have a special guest joining us from New York today, Maxwell Luthi, who is Director of Trends and Insights at Trendwatching. Trendwatching helps business professionals in more than 180 countries understand the new consumer and uncover compelling, profitable innovation opportunities. Max has been quoted as a trend expert in the Financial Times, The Next Web, and many other media outlets. He is co-author of Trend-Driven Innovation, a book of insights on how the world is changing and how a company can spot the next big trend. Welcome to our show, Max.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
So today we're actually going to delve into consumer trend tracking and why businesses should be tracking those trends. But first, before we jump in, I'd love to understand why Trendwatching thought now was the right time to write a book.
It seemed like the right time to write a book because Trendwatching was founded in 2002, and the company had been steadily growing in terms of clients and subscribers. And our model had traditionally been providing these, you know, insights via free monthly trend briefings for our, you know, 250,000 subscribers. So if you signed up with email, you would get the trend briefing. And then we had a premium service where every year we still have a premium service. You get access to the trend report and a database with 140 trends and thousands of examples. But we realized that a lack of information was less and less of an issue in the information age. You know, people aren't struggling to hear about exciting businesses or trends. It's more acting on them that's, you know, become difficult. So our book has been sort of written as the end-to-end methodology that anyone, you know, from a high school student to a startup founder to a very senior, you know, C-suite level marketing executive could use to get from insights to ideas. So to actually take the trends and apply them to a business challenge.
So I've been through the book, and you actually have a whole section on where to spot trends. So, you know, anyone in any sort of company can find value in this book.
Exactly. I mean, anyone can. And the main misconception about understanding trends and understanding change in consumer behavior is that it needs to involve, you know, six-digit market research contracts or lots and lots of surveys or ethnography. You know, or a great understanding of big data. You know, those things can all be helpful, but we have a very simple methodology. We're actually, we're not watching consumers to understand consumer trends. We're looking out for game-changing innovations that are going to set the expectations for those consumers in coming months. So it's something that anyone can do, and it doesn't even have to be particularly resource-intensive.
So the whole premise of your book, like you sort of just alluded to, is that business leaders should be watching other businesses to understand consumerism. So talk a little bit about how that works.
So there's only one reason, really, that you know, every professional, no matter what their role or what their sector, should be tracking trends, and that's because their customers' expectations are always changing. As soon as people experience a better way of doing something, or even hear about it, they expect it. As a result of that, we're always looking for these innovations that are, you know, behind the changes in expectations. I mean, even something that might seem trivial or playful, like Pokemon Go, is actually capable. You know, 500,000,000 people downloaded this game. And this is capable of changing expectations in terms of, you know, you now expect the digital and the real world to kind of overlap with your physical location, and that there's this element of play and this blurring of the lines between online and offline. You know, for 500,000,000 people to have that expectation change, that's going to impact your business, you know, even if you're not in the sort of game industry.
So for businesses, I mean, that's hard for them. I mean, how can a company track those insights? How can they go from, okay, here's kind of what we think, How do we create an idea out of this? Or here's a trend. What do we do next?
Okay. Well, one of the tools that we've created in the last few years to help people take those steps to actually get products on the market is the Consumer Trend Canvas. And I've had the privilege of working with companies like 3M, you know, coming up with new stationery ideas, or the WWF, the charity, and Samsung, and the government of Dubai. So it's a very, widely applicable tool. And this is all about unpacking a trend. So say you find one in one of our reports or a competitor's or something you've spotted yourself. This is a really simple canvas inspired by Alex Osterwalder's business model canvas that helps you unpack and understand the trend and then relate it to your business. So you figure out what the emerging expectations are at the heart of the trend, and then you come up with products, with marketing campaigns, with services that, you know, tap into it, and you actually solve the problem. You seize the opportunity. And you can do this, in just a few hours. It's a very, I can't stress how easy to use yet powerful this tool is.
So in your opinion, what's the single most important trend to have happened in recent years? And of course, you mentioned Pokemon Go, but outside of that.
Yeah. Well, Pokemon Go, exactly. I think, it goes without saying, one of the biggest shifts to have happened, really in my lifetime, has been greater transparency in the marketplace, which means that, not only are consumers more aware of price differences between retailers or, reading restaurant reviews on Yelp, but also about the social, economic and personal impact, the true impact of their consumerism. So you have this very well-educated consumer today who's aware of these negative sides of the purchases they make, and they increasingly demand that they should be able to enjoy these things, whether it's smartphones, sushi, or sports cars, or yoga pants, or anything. They expect to be able to enjoy it guilt-free. So, it won't be news to your listeners, but in terms of the biggest trend, this expectation for guilt-free consumption is really the holy grail if you can pull that off as a business.
So how can a business pull that off? Like, what are some key elements that they should be looking for?
It sort of depends on your business and the, negative side effects traditionally associated with it. So the Fairphone is the Dutch phone that, it is made because smartphones are often using conflict minerals. They promise not to use any conflict minerals because smartphone workers, are famously underpaid and in some cases suicidal in some factories. They have factory workers who are paid a fair wage. Whereas then you have, I already mentioned sushi, one of my favorite examples of all time. It's just from one restaurant in Connecticut. It doesn't have to be a high-tech company or anything. But Maya Sushi, aware that people feel guilty about overfishing and their impact on the sort of ocean ecosystem, they started creating a menu that only used invasive species. So they, by eating this sushi, you're actually improving the environment. That's a great example of
absolutely
of guilt-free consumption.
So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was, it's of course exceptionally important for businesses to track consumer trends, but it's also very important for them to look outside of their own industry for those trends. Talk a little bit to that point.
Sure. So the crazy thing about expectations, and this has even changed since I started working at Trendwatching, is the speed with which they transfer. So expectations bleed across international borders and across industries faster than ever before. So traditionally, you might have been able to look at something like, the beauty subscription packages and said, I'm in food and beverage, that doesn't impact me, or I'm in fashion, that doesn't impact me. But actually, what you see is, the consumer expectation for that convenience, that subscription model spreads across industries. Another example was, Uber. When Uber came onto the scene, it radically changed expectations around urban transport and how quickly you could hail a taxi. But did that begin and end there? Mm-hmm. Of course not. You now have, one-touch delivery of fast-moving consumer goods by Amazon Dash. You have masseuses at the touch of a button. So expectations rapidly leap across verticals. Mm-hmm. And as a result, any professional, yes, you should be tracking what your competitors are doing, but you should really be casting your net wider than that.
So I have to ask how, Max, you got into trend tracking. You were an expert in the field. What was it that captured your interest?
I think that I probably, in terms of without getting to sitting on the therapy couch here, I guess I'd always been observant to the point where it was irritating, to my friends, or verging on judgmental about why people made the decisions they made. But then I worked in advertising after doing a degree in economics and decided it wasn't working for me, so I tried setting up a record label. And in music, a lot of that spotting patterns and what people want to listen to and finding the right act that also matches your taste overlaps with it. But after doing that for a few years, I had consistently been reading Trend Watching's free publications. I just couldn't believe how much information they gave away for free. And, the label wasn't going so well, and I saw they were hiring, and it was, a miracle that they took me under their wing. But, yeah, absolutely, I love the company, and it's a really, really fun job. And there's moments where I forget, because it can be stressful, but people, after conferences, after our keynotes and things, come up to me and say, you just have the best job in the world, because you get to read about exciting product launches and marketing campaigns and all of that every day, all day.
Well, it sounds like it's a perfect fit for you. It's not even a job.
Exactly. Barely feels like a job.
I think we have time for one more thing, and I actually wanted to ask you, for businesses who want to understand how to get started, where can they go to spot trends? I noticed in the book you have a list, and you actually mention airline magazines, which all of us read. We're always reading before the plane takes off. What are a couple other places?
Well, without sounding too sort of spiritual, trends are all around you. So, once you have a sort of model of understanding trends, which you can find in our book, you understand that you're looking out for where basic human needs, such as the desire for convenience, for value, for love, for connection, when these basic human needs bump up against drivers of change, there's points of tension. And as a professional, you should be looking out for the innovators and the innovations that alleviate that tension. And you'll see that whether it's a marketing campaign in a magazine you're flipping through, an article from Bloomberg, something a friend you met has an article they've tweeted. Keep track of these observations. Once you have a framework for processing them, it feels a lot less overwhelming. And I recommend using something like Evernote, which is a really simple way of cataloging the web pages or the articles and even taking pictures of the things that you find and then tagging them. And you can start to build a sort of trend framework so you can start to cluster things together and spot patterns of your own. But of course, the easiest thing to do is just to sign up to our free global briefing.
Well, to our listeners, Max Luthi is co-author of Trend-Driven Innovation. The book is an excellent step-by-step guide that will help you build an organization that matters, and it's available on Amazon. You can reach Max at max@trendwatching.com or at his Twitter handle, @MaxLuthi. Max, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.